Welcome to worship and happy Easter.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please stand and face the cross.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Happy Easter and good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. It's a glorious day. It's a victorious day. We are so excited that you're here with us as we celebrate our Lord's victory over death and the grave. He is alive. We are celebrating that our King is still on the throne. Thanks be to God. And as we do so today, we will be following Divine Service Setting 3 for our liturgy, and that is found beginning on page 184. I'm sure you can already tell I've used a lot of words this weekend and I'm not in full voice. So as we go through our liturgy this morning, I will not be planning to do any chanting this morning. So it's going to change maybe a little bit of how our liturgy sounds. But I appreciate you bearing with me in advance. And there's going to be a slight difference in the way the Alleluia is going to go, but I'll just explain it when we get there. So we begin today on page 184 with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me turn now to the intro. It printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song.
And he has become my salvation.
Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. As our hymn of praise today, we'll turn to hymn 480. He's risen, he's risen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the resurrection of our Lord, Easter Sunday, comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle reading comes to us today from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our Easter Alleluia today, I invite you to turn to the insert at the beginning of your bulletin. We're going to have to do this a little bit differently than I had originally planned, but this is how this will go. Kathy's going to play through the Alleluia once so that we all get to hear the melody, and then the congregation together is going to sing. I am going to speak the words of the verse below, and then we'll all sing the Alleluia together once again. Please stand. Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will confess the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God.
Congregation may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 525, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the Easter sermon is the Easter Gospel from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. We have these two women who have approached the tomb really early in the morning on that first Easter. They are going there because they want to anoint the body of Jesus fully for burial. They want to finish the job that was begun on Friday when Jesus had died. and they expect Jesus to be in the tomb. So what a joyful surprise it is for them when he's not there. When an angel appears and informs them, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. King Jesus still sits on the throne. He is still living. Thanks be to God, he will reign forever and ever. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in a little less than a month from now, they're going to be doing something different in England that they haven't had to do for over 70 years. May 6th is the date that's been chosen for the coronation of King Charles III. He's been serving the British Commonwealth as their king ever since his mom, Queen Elizabeth, died back in September. Because she had been queen for such a long time, going all the way back to 1952, most British people alive today have not yet gotten to see a monarch of theirs officially crowned. So they're going to make a pretty big deal about this coming up on May 6th. Now, for people around here on this other side of the pond, it's kind of hit or miss whether people actually care that much about it or not. I know some people who are like really into all the British royal family stuff, all the drama. They just kind of like soak it all in and eat it all up. And there's a lot of other people who just like couldn't care less. I mean, the reality is it's not our country, right? I mean, so these things that are happening are not going to affect us in the same way, if at all. We have a completely different kind of government here too, so it's not like we even have the experience of having to crown a king or fill a throne or do any of these kinds of things. But it's a fascinating concept just to kind of watch this happen as an outsider looking in and to see how much of a nation's identity can be wrapped up into just one individual person. Because what we're used to is we have these presidents, you know, that they might be like the face of our nation for a while, but they come and go. You know, every 4 years or 8 years, they're moving in and out of the White House all the time, right? So we're used to there being a lot of turnover there. For the British people, this is a completely different kind of expectation that they have, and a different hope entirely. And that's why when the Queen passed away back in September, there were a lot of people who actually were shouting out this one phrase that you probably heard. It was, the Queen is dead, long live the King. Right? The Queen is dead, long live the King. So that's an ancient phrase, an ancient statement. Some people believe that formula goes back all the way to like the 1400s. That's when it first got popular, maybe even earlier than that. But it's intended to be a statement of both mourning, right, over the ruler who has passed away, but also at the same time a statement of hope, a statement of joy over what can happen currently and in the future, right? And the idea is the nation's going to go on. No matter who's sitting on the throne, the nation's going to continue. The nation is more important than the individual who's in power. The monarchy transcends the monarch. And yet, at the same time, there's still this national prayer, essentially, a wish, a hope, that the king or the queen, whoever it is, would live and reign for a really long time. Because when that happens, it means that things are stable. It means that there's generally peace in the country. The only problem is people don't live forever, right? Unfortunately, that's the case. So far, there's been a perfect track record. Every single king or queen eventually passes away. So we can do the math. King Charles III is 74 years old. It's very unlikely that he's going to have a 70-year-long reign like his mom, right? And yet, there will still be a lot of people on May 6th who shout out, long live the king! Because even though it might not be reality, that's what they say. They say this one thing out loud in their head. They know that it's probably not going to happen, that he reigns a long, long time. Thanks be to God, that's not the case for us today. It's Easter Sunday, which means today is Coronation Day. I feel like Anna from Frozen. It's coronation day. It's coronation day for the Lamb who sits upon his throne. And we have a much better phrase that we get to shout today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I'm just going to make you guys say that a bunch so I can keep taking drinks of my water. When we shout that truth over and over and over again over these next several weeks in the Easter season, we have the benefit of knowing that this is not just wishful thinking. It's not just a false hope. It's not just a nice thing that you say, but you know deep down in your mind that it's not really going to happen. No, we know with 100% certainty that our King is alive. And not only alive today, but he will live forever. Jesus will never die again. We just sang about this in the sermon hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. In the fourth stanza of that hymn, we say, Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave. Right? We say that he died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. On Friday, Good Friday, we heard the news that the King is dead. That's what we heard. We heard that Jesus was crucified, that the only crown that he ever got to wear here on earth was a crown of thorns, and then they took him off the cross and they buried him in a tomb. And if our King was just like every other king, that'd be the end of the story, right? The King is dead. Long live the King. Let's just move on to the next one. But instead, today, we get to rejoice that our King won't ever be succeeded by anyone else ever. He's the only king in the history of the world that actually gets to succeed himself upon death. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In this Easter gospel account, we got to hear it this year from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Right away in verse 1 of this passage, we meet these two women who are going to the tomb early in the morning. One is Mary Magdalene. We know her pretty well. The other is just called the other Mary. And we know from earlier in Matthew's gospel in a previous chapter that this other Mary is also described as being the mother of James and Joseph. So we have another Mary and another James and another Joseph. It's really hard with all these common names in those days to keep all these people straight and figure out who belongs to who. But this morning, all we really need to focus on are these two Marys. They're going out to the tomb, and this is more than just a visit to a loved one's grave. You know, you might do that if you're mourning the passing of a loved one, you might go and pay your respects in that way, but this is more than that. These Marys have a job that they want to accomplish when they go out to this tomb. They want to finish the job that was started on Friday. When Jesus had died late in the day on Good Friday, there wasn't a lot of time before the sun went down on the Sabbath to get Jesus' body prepared, especially not in the way that he deserved as our king. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did as best as they could with the little time that they had, but these women went out there at the very first opportunity. As soon as the Sabbath was over, early in the morning, before the sun even came up, these ladies are out there. They want to finish the job. They want to give Jesus the honor and the dignity of burial fit for a king. Which means they fully expected Jesus' body to still be there. Right? When they went to that tomb, they thought the tomb would be full. They thought that Jesus was going to be just like every other dead king that ever came before, where maybe he lives on in some way where you're talking about his memory or his legacy, but not in reality. At least not that, that's not what they thought. And so if that's what their expectation was, then it's no secret then, and it's no wonder why it says right here, when they got to the tomb and they found that it was the opposite of what they were expecting, they were filled with fear and great joy. When they discovered that the tomb was empty, and the angel says to them, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. So, Here's a question that I want all of us to consider today. Do we live our lives as though Jesus were alive? What are you talking about, Pastor? Of course we believe Jesus is alive. Yeah, I know you do. Do we live our lives that way? Do we live treating Jesus as though he really is risen, he really is sitting upon his throne in heaven, he really is in charge of everything that goes on in the world? Or occasionally are we like the two Marys, where we end up treating Jesus just like he's any other dead king? Think about it this way. One of the many things that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world is that for us, we know, we believe, our human founder of our religion, Jesus, is someone that we can still interact with, we can still talk to. Every other religion's founder is someone that you can only remember because they've died a long time ago. If you're talking about Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, if you're talking about Muhammad, the founder of Islam, if you're talking about Confucius, if you're talking about Siddhartha Gautama, who is also known as the Buddha, any one of these other figures, you can only remember them in the sense that you can read their writings or something like that. But you can't actually interact with them now. For us as Christians, we believe, and we really do know, that we can interact with Jesus, that we can talk with him. One of the most important aspects of Easter and the resurrection is not just the fact that Jesus was seen alive 2,000 years ago, 3 days after his crucifixion, you know, like it's just a really cool miracle that he performed, a really neat magic trick. Hey, everybody saw that he was dead, and then, ta-da, he's alive, here he is. It's not just that. But for us, we understand that Easter is the most important day because of what's going on now, because of how it affects us today. The fact that Jesus is still alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You can talk to Jesus right now directly through the power of prayer. Jesus comes to us with his mercy, his grace, his gifts of forgiveness and life and salvation. He does that for us on a daily basis. And if we really believe that is true, then it should affect the way that we live our lives. It should actually change some of the choices that we make, or the things that we say, the things that we do, the way that we interact with our neighbors. And look, all of us fall short at times, right? There's no doubt about that. But that actually, in and of itself, highlights another really great advantage of having Jesus as your king. Because Jesus' kingdom is ruled by the gospel. Jesus rules with grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. It's a really good thing to have a king in charge of you when that king is, first and foremost, a servant. A king who rules not with an iron fist, but with a cross and an empty tomb. That king was dead, but long lives the king for you and for me. Yeah, and like I said before, as Americans, we might not fully appreciate what the big deal is about kings and queens and all the pageantry that goes along with it. But as Christians, as people who always live with one foot in this world and in one foot in the world to come, as Christians, we can really appreciate the fact that our heavenly King is a perfect one. You can't get a more perfect king than Jesus. With Jesus as king in charge, that means we get to look forward to the day when all of the princes and powers of this world, we get to say goodbye to them forever. There's a day coming for all of us because of Easter where there will be no more politics, no more elections, no more taxes, no more robocalls in the middle of your dinner when people are trying to get you to do a political poll or something like that. None of that. It's all going to be gone. Doesn't that sound great? Because of Easter, long live the king is no longer just a wish, but it actually is a given. The Lamb who was slain, sits upon his throne forever, and to him belong power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Crown him with many crowns. It's coronation day because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. All glory to the King of Kings. Happy Easter. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand. For our offertory hymn today, we'll turn to hymn number 475, and we'll sing Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. In our prayers today, we do have a couple updates for you. We've included today under ongoing health needs, Laverne Thorson. Laverne fractured her foot. She's also dealing with some significant arthritis in her knee. So doctors are determining next steps for her, and we're going to keep her in our prayers. Today we'll also be lifting up in prayer the family and friends of Jason Alsept, who was the father of former Trinity students Tanya and Garrett Alsept. Jason passed away in a car accident a little over a week ago. His funeral was held on Thursday. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our strength and song, you have become our salvation. Receive our thanks for your gracious deliverance in Christ Jesus, crucified and risen. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in baptism you have joined us to Christ's death and resurrection and have made us citizens of your kingdom. Move our hearts to repentance that we would set our minds on things above and be directed by your holy will. When doubt and fear weigh us down, console us with the certainty that Christ is risen from the dead and that he rules over all things for our good and greets us with life in his means of grace. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, and especially be with Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic and our sister congregation, Faith Lutheran in Mount Vernon. Bless them during this time of pastoral vacancy and send them a faithful shepherd according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone. Make our households places where your wisdom and grace are found. We rejoice, Lord, with all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Reed, Randy, Jane, Gavin, Cameron, Janelle, Stephen, Pam, Annie, and Geraldine. Continue to bless them in the years to come. Lord, in your mercy. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Grant that all in authority would govern according to your will, maintaining order and curbing evil, that we may live in peace. Bless those who serve in our nation's military, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous Lord, you have seated Christ at your right hand for our deliverance. Remember those afflicted with illness and injury, including all of those on our prayer list, especially those in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Verdell, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Ray, Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Lorene, Beulah, Daryl, Carolyn, Savannah, Wayne, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Brighton, Laverne, Paige, Brent, Bill, Delmar, all those who are fighting cancer. Give them health and strength according to your will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake you will raise them in glory on the last day. We also ask you to comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Jason Alsept. Surround them with your love and remind them of the great hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our strength and salvation, you delivered your people from bondage in Egypt by means of the Passover lamb. As we celebrate Christ, our Passover lamb, who has been sacrificed and raised from the dead, bless all who partake of his sacrament. Cleanse them from boasting, malice, and evil, and give them repentant hearts to receive him in sincerity and truth. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, thanks be to you for victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remind us daily of your promise that you love us with an everlasting love and will raise us and all your people from the dead through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament found on page 194. And please note that we will be speaking these opening responses back and forth. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. We turn now to page 199 and we sing together the Nunc Dimittis. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. 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 You may be seated. The closing hymn is number 463. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Good morning. Well, it's the end of the really, really busy time, but there's still things that are going on around here, and I wanted to bring some of them to your attention. But first, I wanted to say thank you to all those who made this morning possible. Kathy playing two services on organ, and mixed choir for singing today. Everybody who's been involved with all the AV stuff and the brass choir, the youth that were here earlier this morning, and they did the sunrise service. What a blessing it is to have so many people involved to make these worship services happen. I'm really thankful for all of you. There will be no school tomorrow or Tuesday, and nothing is going on tomorrow. We're taking a break, so there's not going to be any chime practice tomorrow or anything like that. Wednesday, no mixed choir. So everybody's just kind of taking a break right now. School and church office will also be closed, but if you need to get a hold of me, feel free to do so directly. I wanted to let you know that coming up next weekend, we are going to begin our new members classes. We're going to do that at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So if you or somebody you know might be interested in joining the church, this would be the class to take. Come and let me know that you'd like to take it. Also, this is open to anyone who would like to just have a refresher in Lutheran doctrine, the small catechism, and things like that. Everybody's free to join the class if you'd like to, but like I said, we're going to start this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock. And then the following Saturday, on the 22nd, I wanted to mention that the LWML is going to be having their Zone Spring Prayer Service, and that will take place at Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron. I will be participating in that. It'll be my final official act as the Zone LWML Pastoral Counselor, which I've been blessed to serve in that role for the last 4 years, and they'll be electing somebody new at this next meeting here. But we just want to make sure all the ladies had that on their calendar for Saturday, April 22nd. Any other announcements today? I want to wish all of you from us at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, and from myself and my family, a very blessed and happy Easter to all of you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week.
Have a blessed week.